Early one afternoon, as I sat in the common room listening to Tian practice her ballads, R2 tugged on my robe and led me to Luke's chambers. Inside the door, I caught the acrid scent of melted electronics. I looked over to where Luke sat on his bunk. What happened? I checked the holocron to see if there was more information on Exar-Kun. And there was. Vodos Yaskbas was modeled on the Jedi that trained him. I used him as a vector for my inquiries about what happened to Kun. Luke fell silent for a moment. Bas went to Coruscant to get his disciple to return to the way of the Jedi. Kun killed his teacher in the Senate chamber. I drew in a deep breath. That's not good news. When I asked what happened then, Luke pointed mutely at the melted holocron. In the resulting fire and bright light, I thought I saw the shadow of a dark man and heard his laughter. I passed my hand over the melted device and caught some residual heat. Is Exar-Kun our guy? Luke shook his head. 4,000 years is a long time. I'd rather think someone discovered Exar-Kun's studies and has fashioned himself into a new Dark Lord of the Sith. Don't have to go far for a candidate. My nostrils flared. Kip has been a mind slave all his life. You showed him how powerful he was. He was learning how to make his own decisions, and suddenly grand new vistas opened up for him. I sighed loudly. Kip may be gone forever, or he may come back. We don't know. I think we need to decide what we're going to do about Exar-Kun. I toyed with my goatee. One of the temples here could be the center point of his power. Luke nodded. That could be where Kip obtained instruction, if we only knew where it was. I smiled. I think we can find out. How? Survey logs. Everyone has been out surveying the local sites. Yes, but Kip would have falsified his logs to hide where he had been. True, but he was always out with Doris Gady 1, who wouldn't have any reason to falsify his survey reports. I gave him an easy grin. If you ask for everyone to turn in their logs, I can go over them and sort out the likely spots Kun is hiding out. Mara Jade's blue lightsaber hummed, then spat as it batted away a remote's fiery dart. The exercise was one of teamwork, because half the remotes were meant for me to deal with, and half for Mara, yet they could target either one of us. I felt a shot coming in from directly above me. My initial reaction was to raise the blade and stab it back behind my head, but Mara was standing there. Given no choice, I leaped up as high as I could and thrust the lightsaber above my head. The silvery blade took the dart on the point. I laughed triumphantly, then saw Mara's cerulean blade whirl through a complete circle, passing beneath me as it picked off 3 darts, vectoring in at odd angles. I pivoted left and blocked another shot a second before Mara's blade came around and struck mine. I rolled off to the right, letting the strength of her cut provide the energy. Coming around and up, I one-handed the blade, flicking 2 more darts off into the darkness. Then I took one straight in the stomach. I shunted the pain away immediately and stepped back. I saw Mara spin away from a trio of darts, one of which hit her in the shoulder. Her blade moved a fraction too slow after that, allowing 2 more to lance through her hip. Her spin, which had started voluntarily, continued without her consent, dropping her to the hangar floor. Her blade came up and warded off another shot. Then a dart hit her in the small of the back, collapsing her legs as she tried to get back up. I felt 3 remotes moving in for the kill. I dove toward her, my blade blocking the 2 darts meant to further cripple her. 2 centimeters in front of her face, my hand snatched the 3rd bolt from the air. Searing pain shot up my arm. My lightsaber whirled out of my grasp and spun to a stop about 10 meters away. Its silvery glow illuminated the remotes closing in on me. I sighed. I have a bad feeling about this. The remotes did not shoot. Cam Solyusar, the apprentice in charge of our lightsaber training, entered the chamber.
That's enough for now. You did pretty well.
I laughed. If that's true, why do I feel so bad?
It's because, Kieran, you didn't do well enough.
Thanks for the clarification, Cam. Mara laughed lightly, then sighed. Thanks for the save.
No problem. You do the same for me.
her voice drained of all lighter tones. "Would I?" I had to think for a second. "You would. The universe you knew growing up under the Emperor may have changed, but your core values of duty and loyalty haven't. You'd extend that sort of courtesy to someone you see as a friend, right?"
"Is that why you sacrificed your hand to protect my face? Because you think of me as a friend?"
"In part, yes. A very big part. I also did it because I knew I could, and therefore it was my duty to do so. A Jedi places himself where he can defend the greatest number of people from the greatest evil."
"Even if it costs him his life?"
I exhaled slowly. "You never want to think about that, but it's part of the job."
Mara snorted. "The Emperor would have considered you a sentimental fool who deserved to die."
"I'll remember that next time I dance on his grave."
I offered her a hand.
She took it, and I steadied her as she got back onto her feet. Luke was watching his dream of the Jedi Academy collapse around him. Kip, his most promising student, had fallen under the sway of an ancient evil and had vanished. Mara Jade, one of the Emperor's trusted practitioners of the Force, had come to the Academy for instruction, but inside a week had chosen to leave again. I'd seen her that morning when I'd arrived for our run. "Ready to go?"
"Yeah,"
she replied.
"But not running."
She graced me with an open gaze that surprised me with its vulnerability.
"The other day, when you were talking about the willingness to sacrifice yourself for others, I started thinking about the Smugglers' Alliance. Up to now, I've been responsible only for myself. With Talon Card putting me in charge of the Alliance, he's counting on me to do the right thing. I refuse to fail him."
After Luke saw Mara off, he took us listlessly through the morning's exercises. I felt a little physical activity would be good for him and help ground him again, so I challenged him to a duel. Kam explained that there were things I needed to learn from a living foe, and that he, Kam, did not have the control necessary to spar with me. It would be up to Luke to make sure I didn't hit him and he didn't hit me, causing him to concentrate. I lit my lightsaber, letting its snap hiss fill the hangar. Luke's green blade sprang to life. "Let me see what you have learned." I closed with him and arced a cut in toward his shoulder. He blocked it. The spark of light exploding from the contact of the two blades washed shadows across Luke's disinterested expression. "He's got to focus," I thought to myself. I slashed twice crosswise, then kicked out straight into his midsection. A feral grin twisted Luke's mouth. He came forward wordlessly, moving with a fluidity I'd not seen in him before. He aimed a slash at me that would have bisected me from shoulder to hip. With a quick parry, I slid it wide, then stepped forward and slammed my shoulder into his chin. That stood him up, clicking his teeth sharply together. I drove a weak jab with my hand into his ribs, then ducked a slash that should have trimmed my hair at roughly the level of my earlobes. Dropping into a crouch, I whipped my leg out and scythed it through his legs, dropping him onto his back. I looked down at him. "I would have thought you'd be better than this." Luke slowly got up.
"You don't understand." He spat out some bloody saliva. "There are things in play here, forces shifting."
"Maybe I could understand if you'd talk about it." I lowered my blade.
"You're the Jedi Master, but that doesn't mean you should shoulder all the responsibility."
Luke closed his eyes and sighed.
"I have this oppressive sense of doom approaching. All the things I think about doing do not seem to make it go away."
I sighed. "Maybe you're not the one who has to act. Defeating this disaster you feel coming, getting rid of Exar Kun or whoever this dark man is, might just require all of us to finally accept our responsibilities as Jedi." Luke's fingers flexed.
"But you are not ready for such challenges."
"Then let us fail and learn how to deal with it. Jedi will fail, and if they don't have the spine to recover from it, you'll lose them."
Luke's lightsaber died. "I have to think about what you said."
"Don't just think, Master, act."
I thumbed my blade off as well, letting darkness swallow us. "If you don't act, the disaster you feel could be on a scale from which none of us can possibly recover." When I emerged from the Great Temple the next morning, a Z-95 headhunter was resting on the landing pad outside. Kip had stolen that ship. And if it was back, that meant he was, too. I ran over to the craft. The controls looked as if he'd reached a hand into them and just squeezed. Mara Jade isn't going to like that one bit. I turned around, following a wisp of Kip's essence to the base of the Great Temple. As I mounted the steps, I sensed the other students up there, and their emotions ran from shock and outrage to sorrow and despair. I crested the edge of the temple and saw the Mon Calamari apprentice, Silgal, cradling Luke's head in her lap. She reported finding a heartbeat, and I could see his chest moving with shallow respiration.
But I can't find him inside. When I touch him with the Force, all I find is a great empty spot.
Silgal blinked her eyes.
We are all alone now.
The despair in her voice found an ally in the fear writhing in my belly. Muscles bunched at the corners of my jaw. We're not alone. We have each other. We may not be Jedi, but we're not helpless either. Kirana Ti, the Dathomiri witch, looked at me.
What can we do?
We can do the obvious, can't we? The first thing we need to do is to let Coruscant know Master Luke has been hurt and that Kip Duran was involved. Cam looked down at the landing pad, then grunted. Think Kip is still hiding on this rock? Streen shook his head.
I can't hear him.
I'd like to hope that means he's dead, but I don't believe it. I glanced at Cam. You're wondering how he got off this rock if he left the fighter behind.
Yes,
and the only other ride in the system is the Sun Crusher. Cam's hands contracted into fists. I sighed heavily. Okay, look, we have to take this in steps. First thing, we get Master Skywalker down and out of the elements. I glanced at the Mon Calamari. Ambassador, you've got a talent for healing. Will you monitor Master Skywalker and let us know what we need to help him?
I can see to his initial care, yes. We should certainly get a full medical team out here as fast as possible, however.
Silgal slowly blinked her eyes.
We must also notify the New Republic and Counselor Organa Solo that something has happened to her brother.
I cleared my throat. I'll get on the holonet and speak to Coruscant. Cam straightened.
We need to avoid panic and keep our wits about us. We should practice what we have learned so far, strengthening ourselves.
His head came up.
I'll expect everyone who isn't assigned other duties to meet for exercises as usual.
It's a plan. I gave Cam a nod. I reached Tycho at squadron headquarters. We just took a big hit. Luke Skywalker is hurt. We don't know how badly. We're going to need a full medical team out here as fast as possible. Tycho nodded.
I've got a shuttle fueling and pre-flighting right now. I'll alert a med team and fly it out myself.
Good. I need you to put me through to General Kraken. It is vital I speak to him. The Rogue Squadron crest hung in air above the comm unit's holoprojection pad. Kraken's face replaced it.
Colonel Selkru suggested you had something urgent for me.
I nodded. You remember that Sun Crusher you thought you'd taken care of by dumping it in Yavin's gas giant?
I don't like the sound of that question, Captain.
Then you're really going to hate the reason I'm asking it. Sometime past midnight local time, person or persons unknown arrived on Yavin 4. They confronted Master Skywalker, defeated him, and departed again. They left behind a Z-95 headhunter with the controls destroyed. Kip Duran, one of the few people who knows how to pilot that Sun Crusher, was last seen in possession of the headhunter in question. Kraken's face sagged.
An 18-year-old kid who grew up in a prison mine, in control of a weapon that can destroy star systems. At least when we were dealing with Imperials, we had a chance of predicting their behavior, but a kid who's angry with the galaxy...
Not one of the better days for the New Republic, I agree. I shrugged. I'll keep you informed. Frustration largely characterized the week between Master Skywalker's fall and the arrival of his sister, her family, and the medical team. Another development, or lack of one, actually, had me worried. Since Luke's defeat, there had been no sign of the Dark Man. This scared me a great deal, because his lack of activity was somewhat uncharacteristic, and made me think we were just on the cusp of the disaster Master Skywalker had foreseen. I thought of the Dark Man as a sociopath. Sociopaths tend to cycle. They commit their crimes on a schedule that makes sense for them. As their crimes become more and more horrific, the cycle tends to speed up until whatever little control they had over themselves erodes and they get sloppy enough to get captured. Kip was here just over a week before he stole the headhunter. Inside a week, he came back and dropped Luke like a hot rock. By rights, the Dark Man should have been back preying on us within days after Luke's defeat. But he wasn't. And this frightened me. Princess Leia's arrival worked wonders for us. She looked tired and a bit haggard, but still every bit the exciting and heroic icon she had been during the rebellion. Her twins, dark-haired and bright-eyed, looked around at Yavin 4 with a mixture of wonder and trepidation. Last down the egress ramp from the Millennium Falcon came Han Solo. He looked to me as if he'd lost a bit of weight during his recent adventure on Kessel, but still cut a dashing and vital figure. Han Solo did what he could to help out by using the Falcon's food prep unit to create a dinner of Corellian food. Being the only person on the planet who was not Force-sensitive had to be rough on him. Providing food was what he could do to help a situation that was beyond helping. I picked at the food, not really listening to what the others were saying. Leia Organa Solo tolerated none of the self-pitying chatter and ended it by slapping her hands on the stone table.
The one thing you can't do is give up.
I wanted to cheer, but a mouthful of Endwa prevented me from doing so. I chewed quickly and swallowed hard.
Just in time to scream. Luke Skywalker had told us that at the moment of Alderaan's destruction, his teacher, Obi-Wan Kenobi, had said he felt a disturbance in the Force. Anyone who could label what I felt as a disturbance could think of Hutts as cuddly. The hollow shock one feels when told of a close friend's sudden death slammed into me at light speed. Flashes of faces, snippets of dreams, laughter aborted, and the sweet scent of a newborn's flesh undergoing a greasy transformation into roast meat all roared through me. Thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions, these images and impressions came in a whirlwind that screwed itself down into my belly. I don't recall leaving the dining hall, but my mind was not my own, as the Force carried to me the annihilation of a world far away. When clarity began to return, I found myself outside, on the top of the great temple. My throat burned. Trembling arms held me up above a pool of my own vomit, and I would have sagged to the side, but strong hands on my shoulders steadied me. Han half dragged me away from the remains of my dinner. Leia said it was something horrible. Sun Crusher killed a system? I wiped my mouth. Unless you know of another superweapon sitting around that could explode a star. The fleeting image of someone who looked like Kip surfaced in my brain. I felt his joy at seeing his brother again, then pain from betrayal that stretched into untold agony as his body melted. Kip had a brother? Han's eyes focused distantly. Imps took him to the academy at Kurita. He's gone. So's Kurita. Han glanced down at me. Now I know where to start looking. I looked hard at him. You're going after Kip?
Have to. He'll listen to me. I have history with the kid. I spent much of the next day helping Han pre-flight the Falcon. He loaned me a couple of hydro spanners so I could work on Mara's headhunter, then said his farewells to his family and raced off. I spent the rest of the day working on the headhunter, then dropped into bed. I felt more than heard the children scream. I bolted from bed and started sprinting upward as fast as I could. Above me in the grand audience chamber, I could feel forces gathering, and was surprised that the person sitting with Luke had not raised an alarm. Streen is smart enough to summon help. The second the old man's image popped into my mind, a piece of half-heard dinner conversation echoed through my head.
"I can't get away from him," Streen had said. "A dark man, a shadow."
My chest tightened.
By all of Alderaan's ghosts, we've doomed Master Skywalker. A raging windstorm howled through the Grand Audience Chamber and battered me as I burst through the stairwell doorway. I saw Leia leap for her brother's legs and get carried upward toward the ceiling by the Cyclone. At the heart of the storm, Stream danced around in a circle, his arms spread wide, his eyes open but unseeing. He clearly meant for the storm to blow Luke and Leia out through the skylights and hurl them into the jungle, where the fall would kill them. Summoning the Force, I projected into Stream's brain a vision of the room that did not include me or the other apprentices coming out of the lift. I introduced into him a sense of his mission having been accomplished fully and totally, and I felt an alien wave of satisfaction roll back out from him. Then Kirana T battered her way past his defenses and tackled her. The wind died. Cam and Tian used their telekinetic abilities to catch the siblings and lower them to the ground slowly. Master Skywalker appeared to be unhurt. Streen slowly recovered himself and explained that in his nightmare he thought he was fighting the Dark Man. He had tried to destroy him, thought he had, and then awoke to find he had actually been trying to kill Master Skywalker.
"We must destroy the Dark Man," Streen said, "before he kills all of us."
I retreated back down the stairs, mulling over Streen's words. But how does one kill a creature of the dark side? I had no clue as to the answer to that question. It really came as no surprise when, as I lay down in my bunk, an oily, glistening black stain seeped into the ceiling above me. It resolved itself into the shadowy image of a tall, slender, sharp-featured man.
"Your mind trick was quite good, Kieran Halcyon."
High praise from a Dark Lord of the Sith. The shade descended from the ceiling.
"I was once like you, a mere man filled with ambitions."
I snorted. "If you're the after holograph, I'm not interested. You misjudge me if you think there is anything I want from you."
"Oh, there is. You just don't realize it."
A confident grin twisted Kuhn's ebon features. He gestured casually, and a window opened in the air. With the image he presented to me, my stomach imploded. I saw Mirax lying on a bier, very much like Master Skywalker above us.
"And what would you have me do for your help?"
"Kill Skywalker."
I smiled. "Mirax's life for his? No deal. You don't get it, do you? You've already lost, and you're continuing down that losing path. Haven't the last 4,000 years taught you anything?" I rose from my bed and pointed a finger at him. "You're never going to win. You destroy those who oppose you, leaving only the faithful from among whom arises a rival. And again that cycle repeats itself. And you let it go on because you've forgotten the most fundamental truth. Life creates the Force. You're a predator, overgrazing your prey. But you can't stop because the dark side fills you with this aching hunger that will never be satisfied." I folded my arms. "I'm not fodder for your fantasies. Go away." Exar Kun lifted his head.
"I came to you now, inviting you to join me. I would have given you much. When next you'll come to me, and you will, I shall not be so generous."
I found myself alone. Exar Kun had come to me to entice me to join him. What he didn't know was that in doing so, he gave me the secret of destroying him. Cam met me in the hangar of the Great Temple. "We just learned from Luke that Exar Kun is behind the trouble."
"Luke's awake?"
"No, but his nephew and niece can hear him." Cam's face darkened. "We have to defeat Kun if we are to get Luke back. We're preparing a council of war right now to figure out what we're going to do." The Council of War convened in what had once been the Rebel command post for the first strike on the Death Star. Despite there being ample room for me at the central table, I hung back and pushed a type of situational sensitivity that I referred to as my sphere of responsibility out to fill the room to monitor what was going on with my fellow apprentices. I immediately picked up a jet-black strand connecting Streen to Kuhn.
I was sure the old gas prospector had no idea it was there. He was still mortified at his near murder of Master Skywalker, and his dwelling on what he had almost done was what allowed Kuhn to maintain the link. I let Streen fill Kuhn with our resolve to unite and defeat him, but Kuhn's contempt for us came rolling back along the line like an echo. We were snacks he would devour at his leisure, not morsels that might choke him. My quiet laughter from the corner brought Silgal's head around.
This is hardly a matter that is amusing, Kieran. If you will not contribute...
I stood and narrowed my eyes. I'll contribute. What has Master Luke drilled into us since day one? Kiranati's eyes widened.
The antidote to the dark side is the light side.
Right. It will have to shine so brightly no shadow can withstand it. I looked around at all of them. That's your job. When he comes for Master Skywalker again, you give him more light than he can ever handle. The Mon Calamari ambassador cocked her head at me.
Our job? You must be with us. Be part of our united force.
Not going to happen. I leaned forward. Up to this point, Exar Kuhn has acted on his own schedule. Not anymore. Tomorrow evening, we'll force him to act. He won't be ready, but he'll think he can still beat us. He'll be wrong. Tian regarded me.
What are you going to do?
I shook my head. You can't know, just as I can't know exactly what you want to do. The key is that when we move, I pointed at Streen, he'll be guarding Luke Skywalker's body.
Me?
Streen looked stricken. You, Streen. You're going to seem weak, but you'll be strong. You won't break. You'll hold. I smiled. You'll all hold. Kiranati watched me carefully.
You make it sound as if you will go after Exar Kuhn by yourself. You know it will be impossible to stand against him alone.
Could be. I smiled, remembering similar assessments of missions with Rogue Squadron. Then again, I've been to the land of the impossible before. If we all do our parts, I may survive another little visit there. I used the headhunter's blasters to burn back enough jungle at the edge of the lake to provide me with a landing site. Then I set the fighter down. I looked out across the expanse of the lake at the small island centered in it. An obsidian pyramid with smooth sides had been erected there. Then a wedge had been chopped out of the center. From the shore, the interior angles drew my attention to a massive statue of a man. I was too far away to discern much in the way of detail, but I had no doubt I looked upon Exar Kuhn. I knew this is where I would find him. The clues had been painfully easy to put together. Dorsk 81 had reported traveling in this direction, but the survey logs that Kip Duron had prepared showed no trip here. The fact that it had escaped the ravages of time further suggested it was a focus for Kuhn's power. I stood in the center of the small courtyard and unveiled my presence. I pushed my sphere of responsibility out, but had barely gotten it 2 meters before Kuhn appeared.
Why have you violated my sanctuary?
Just the thing I wanted to talk with you about. I checked New Republic law. Property claims are abandoned well shy of 4 millennia. As a result, I've filed a claim for this place, and now it's mine. I'd love to have you stick around, but your statue is right where the wife will want the entertainment center. You understand, don't you?
You insolent bug!
Kuhn opened his shadowy arms wide.
You're playing with powers more titanic than you could ever know.
Save the threats. I yawned.
I've been going over all the stuff you've done, and I've figured out your weakness. While disembodied, you can't affect the physical world.
Kuhn's expression darkened.
No? Then I cannot do this!
Kuhn flicked a finger, sending me whirling across the courtyard. I tried to gather the force around me to protect myself, but the shock at my error kept me from it. I slammed into an obsidian wall and heard a bone in my forearm crack. I clutched the limb to my chest, but Kuhn spun me again, smashing my flank into a low wall. Ribs crunched with that impact, and I felt something inside go as well.
Kuhn's laughter echoed through his stronghold as he pitched me around, dancing me and rolling me back and forth across the courtyard. He lifted me into the air, then dashed me down, shattering my left leg. But even through the pain, I had clarity of mind. He wanted me thinking, not dead yet. Eventually, like a child tiring of a toy, he let me go. I slumped to my side and involuntarily flinched as his shade came to cover me.
Even if it is something of an effort for me to affect the material world, here in my stronghold, it is a pleasure beyond your possible ken.
I let my words hiss out between clenched teeth.
I think I'll put a wide-view holoprojector right where you're standing.
Childish jokes from a childish mind.
Glancing down at me, Kuhn let his voice become icy.
You could have been raised to the level of divinity by my hand. Now you will be destroyed by it.
Is that the best you've got?
The tone of the voice had enough edge to etch transparasteel and would have flensed me alive, but I knew it wasn't directed at me. I looked up and saw Mara Jade sauntering into the temple. Darth Vader would have found you amusingly quaint, and the Emperor... Well, Mara Jade's eyes flashed mercilessly. The Emperor succeeded in destroying the Jedi, so he'd see you as the very definition of failure.
Yes, but your vaunted Emperor is dead.
I found my voice again.
Something the two of you have in common, then.
I shoved myself up and balanced awkwardly on my one unbroken leg.
And something else. He didn't know when he'd lost either. It's over.
I felt Kuhn's consciousness stab into my brain. He laughed aloud.
A trap? You and your companions seek to trap me!
Kuhn looked away toward the great temple, then back down at us.
This may have been a brave attempt on your part, but your friends have made a grave error. Their defense of Skywalker is only as strong as the weakest person defending him, and they have left him vulnerable again.
Mara looked at me, clearly alarmed. What's he talking about?
Luke's hurt.
I winced as pain shot through my belly.
Streen is guarding him.
Exar Kuhn laughed again.
Yes, Streen. My Streen.
The Dark Lord's image began to shrink back into the obsidian of his temple.
I will finish him, then come again for you. Tremble in fear. Cower in anticipation.
His presence faded from the temple. And I tried to straighten up. I managed a half-staggered step, then went down on one knee. Mara knelt next to me.
What's this about Streen?
I managed a weak smile.
Bait. Kuhn's heading into a trap.
She weighed my words.
Any chance he can get out of it? Shouldn't be able to. It really is over for him.
I coughed once and felt a pain in my chest.
Gonna have to help me out of here, because I can't make it on my own.
She reached down, helped haul me to my feet, then dipped a shoulder and lifted me in a rescue carry.
Always glad to help a friend.
The sun had set by the time we got back to my headhunter, and the other one that had brought Mara Jade. I looked up at her.
Thanks for intervening. If you hadn't come in, then...
Mara tucked a strand of red-gold hair behind her right ear. I could feel you and Kuhn tangling. The force was boiling.
And you came anyway?
I owed you. We're even now. She reached out and took my hand.
I'll slave your ship to mine, and we'll go back to the Great Temple.
Right. See if Luke is okay. Mara paused for a moment, then nodded.
He is. And they know you're incoming wounded.
I rolled myself forward and stood with her help.
They succeeded?
They did.
Exar Kuhn is no more.
Mara smiled unguardedly.
The Jedi Academy, it seems, has gotten rid of a Dark Lord and produced itself a crop of Jedi.
Exar Kuhn's attacks had messed me up more than I knew, and I was pretty well out of it in the beginning. As I started to come around, Kip Duron was returned to Yavin by Han Solo so Luke Skywalker could judge him for his crimes. I was in the Bacta tank when that took place, and by the time I got out, Luke, Kip, and Silgal had departed to destroy the Sun Crusher. Master Skywalker had once said that Jedi do not dream. So when I found myself on a bright, arid world, I wondered how I had gotten where I was. It wasn't until I looked over to my right and saw my grandfather's Kamasi friend, Yelenik Itkla, resplendent in his purple cloak, that I realized I wasn't me. Then I knew that what I was seeing was my grandfather Neja Halcyon's final battle. Emerging from the central pavilion, two figures came out to stand opposite us. Each of them bore a lightsaber. Their leader, an Anzati, a tall, blonde man, entirely humanoid save for the proboscises uncurling from his cheek pouches in his excitement, took a step closer toward us. I somehow knew this man's name was Nikos Tiris. A red-haired woman aligned herself with Yelenik, while the Anzati lined up to oppose me. Yelenik spoke very precisely. "We have come to ask you to abandon your evil and return to the light." The leader laughed slowly, his voice low and laden with contempt. "The weak always fear the strong growing up to replace them." Yelenik's voice came gentle. "Fear marks the wrong path. We offer you freedom from your fear." Their leader thumbed his lightsaber to life. "And we offer you freedom as well." Then he flicked fingers at me with the most casual of gestures. A fist-sized stone shot up from the ground and slammed into the left side of my head. I went down hard, my lightsaber bouncing out of my grasp. I wanted to call it to my hand, but I knew it would never come.
"So, it is true what they have said about the Halcyon line," Tiris mocked. "You are wing-clipped Minox."
An evil smile spread across his face as he brought his lightsaber around to display for me the tool of my destruction.
"You are a line of weakness."
I smiled, knowing what I had to do. "We have our strengths." I launched myself toward my weapon, but even as I started to bring the blade around in a parry, I knew I would be too late. So did Tiris. He stabbed his blade down through my chest. It melted flesh and boiled blood as it went, reducing my heart to sweet smoke and steam. The lower part of my body went numb, though I barely noticed because of the wave of agony surging up through me and into my brain. I was dying, and I knew it, and regrets poured in with the pain. But I was not dead yet. I was a Halcyon. I was a Jedi. Jedi do not know pain. I concentrated and employed the greatest Halcyon gift against my enemy. I sucked the energy out of the Anzati's lightsaber. With the energy I pulled in, I plucked him from the ground in a giant invisible fist. I made the fist convulse once, and I felt no resistance as his bones shattered. I felt a jolt through the force and saw a blue flash of light, but by then my energy reserves had faded, as did I. I felt spiky red torments racing in to fill my consciousness. But I slipped out of my fleshy prison before they could shackle me to this spot forever. I sat bolt upright in bed, sweat pouring off my body, and staggered to the refresher station. I splashed cold water on my face. I glanced in the mirror and saw my grandfather's face where mine should have been. I closed my eyes and shook my head. Opening them again, I saw Neja Halcyon's features fade and mine return. I turned away from the mirror and buried my face in my hands. For the past 10 weeks, I've been an idiot. My father's saying, "If you cannot recognize the man in the mirror, it is time to step back and see when you stopped being yourself," should have been my guide all the way along. In joining Luke, I wasn't being myself. I was trying to become my grandfather. And the dream made it abundantly clear that to do that was a disaster. Corrin Horn was not a Jedi. What Corrin Horn was an investigator, trained by Corsec to deal with all manner of problems, just like the Invids. If they'd been a pirate band working the Corellian sector, I'd have infiltrated them, ferreted out their secrets, and busted them up. I'd done that very thing dozens of times in my career. That sort of investigation certainly would take time, months at the very least. But at least I'd be doing something that would get me closer to Mirax. The Jedi stuff I had learned was fine for saving the galaxy. But I only wanted to save one person, and save her I could. I turned back toward the mirror and nodded to the man I saw there. Good to see you again, Corrin Horn. It's time this Invid business is ended once and for all. When Master Skywalker returned with Kip, I asked to speak to Luke alone. I can't stay here any longer. Luke stared through me for a moment. Not you too. I suspected this remark had something to do with Mara Jade and her quick departure after delivering me back to the Great Temple. I can't stay because there are things here that just are not working. I added in a smaller voice. For me, they're not working. Luke glanced away from me. I think you will make a fine Jedi Knight. He hesitated for a moment, then plunged on. I am concerned, though, that you don't like how I run the Academy. I shook my head slowly. No, I just don't think it works for me. That said, you've done a fine job with the majority of the students. Even tossing me, Mara, and Kip into the mix, your first class only has 3 failures. Not a bad failure rate. And I don't think Mara was really a failure. Me, neither. The Jedi Master smiled for a second. You really are going to leave? I have to.